Hey everyone, welcome back to the Double Click Podcast. This week is our last week in our marriage series talking about the necessity of Christian community. So before you totally turn this off because you're like, oh yeah, here we go. The pastors are going to talk about why I need to go to church. Like, let me say this. All right, let me make bold statement about what this whole conversation is about. You can't survive in a marriage alone. And I'm not talking about with your spouse. I'm saying the two of you cannot isolate yourselves from other people and survive in a marriage. When we take that into the Christian context, I'll go even further and say, if you want a marriage that is Christ-centered and moving forward and doing what God wants, you have to have other believers in your life.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Justin. And that concludes the podcast.
Have a good week, everybody.
We're not going to talk about anything practical. No, we are going to talk about it in a practical way, because anytime I've done marriage counseling, pre-marriage or when something has come up, like this kind of ends up being a major punchline. When marriages start to fall apart, one of the key things, one of the key markers you see right at the beginning is the marriage became isolated, or one of the people in the relationship became isolated, meaning their only interaction was with their spouse, and all of a sudden it developed this huge negative think hole.
Yeah.
And then all the phrases start to get dropped of like, there are these marker phrases of when a marriage is getting ready to fall apart. I deserve better. I didn't know that this person would be that. Like, all these things start to show up, and it soon begins to fall apart, and they grow further and further apart. Where, over and over again, I've seen just in basic conversation with other believers about how your marriage is going, you avoid so much.
Yeah, well, with community, there's accountability, there's checkpoints. With healthy community, I think you can go in, and we can talk about this in a bit. You can have somebody that you vent to that adds to the issue, or you can go to someone that you vent to or discuss things with, and they counsel you, and that grows you. But there are just certain things that you can go and you can talk to your spouse. But guess what? If you and your spouse are having issues or having kind of a quarrel or not really sure how to meet in the middle,
which is inevitable,
yes, then they may not be the right person to talk to, because you've already tried to talk to them and it's led you to this point. And so failure to talk about it, failure to process, at least in my experience, just turns you into a pressure cooker. Right? Like, it just, you keep suppressing and suppressing and suppressing, and that pressure keeps building. And then either one day you go off on your spouse, or you go off on some innocent person on the street and you go crazy. Or you just internally are in such turmoil that you can't take it anymore. And I think those are places that we definitely don't want to get to. And having good, healthy Christian community, whether it's formal counseling or just an informal brother or sister in Christ to talk to, that helps us not get to that pressure cooking place.
Yeah, and I want to get back to that, because you mentioned the word venting, right? And I want to approach that as not a negative.
Right.
It can be a negative. Like, if you turn it into bashing, it's a negative. That's a line you don't want to cross, okay? You don't want to go off with the guys and bash wives. You don't want to go off with the girls and bash husbands. Like, that's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about is that God-centered processing. And I want to get to that, but first, I really want to define what we're talking about when we say the word community in this context. We're not talking about going and sitting and listening to a sermon. When we talk about being involved in church, the punchline of this and why you need it within your marriage relationship, why each of you need it, going back to a previous podcast where we talked about, like, your spouse can't replace God. Like, they can't provide you with purpose and joy and meaning of life and all those things. You can't get that from a spouse, right?
Right.
Just like that, we want to make sure you understand, when we talk about community in this context, it's a walking through life together. It's a discipleship level. It's a deep friendship. And the formula we've talked about over and over again, you're sitting there and you're going, you know what? I don't have that. Like, I go to a church and I'm in a Sunday school class, but there's nobody I can walk through life with. Well, the way you get there is, one, by you taking the step within a discipleship context. And maybe you need to mix it up. Maybe you need to find a small group, a Bible study, and you try again and again, and eventually God leads somebody into your life that you can have, and we'll say it this way, healthy venting sessions with.
Yeah, and this is a good starting point. If you know someone else and you have some kind of at least acquaintance with them, and you know that they're married and you're married, hey, you guys just found some commonality that you can begin a relationship and a dialogue with, which is what we're talking about when we say community. It's a conversation. It's a dialogue with another believer to help process and walk through life, and in this case, the subject of marriage.
Yeah, and let me go even further, okay, because this is not something from Scripture. This is just in my experience. I think that Christian community complements marriage best when there are seasons, I'm not going to say all the time, but there are seasons where the husband is going off with the guys mm-hmm. to have Bible study in time, and the wife is going off with the girls and having Bible study in her time. Because I've seen numerous times people say, okay, we need to get in community, let's find a couples group.
Mm-hmm.
And what inevitably happens within a couples group a lot of the time is you have one spouse that's open and one that's closed.
Yeah.
You have one of them that's used to talking more than the other one. And like me and my wife are a great example. Like so my wife is a people person. Like we walk into a room full of strangers and I will hide behind her and let her just do her thing.
Yeah.
Like introduce, and my job is to smile and say, "Matt." Like that's it. All right. That's all I do. However, if you flip that script into a spiritual context where I'm a pastor, I'll dominate her in the conversation.
Right.
Is I all of a sudden start talking, and she'll let me because we're in that role sometimes when we're in pastors. So me and her have learned as important it is to grow spiritually together, which is also very important, and those couple groups are good. We regularly have to be involved as individuals in our own spiritual growth with other believers that are in a similar context.
Mm.
And so that's one thing right now. If you said, well, we tried that, we tried a couples group, I'm just giving you things I've seen over and over and what I've experienced. Like, you've got to grow as an individual first.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and I don't want to say the danger of having a couples group, because I think there are seasons when those are needed.
Yeah,
when
absolutely.
When you need to walk through. But again, if maybe you're not in a healthy relationship, you do need to separate and go into separate groups to grow and work on yourself. Because if you're not, if you're in a couples group and then your spouse says, well, this happened, you're going to go, well, no, that's not how it happened. And then, yeah. And now really you're just fighting in front of people.
Yeah. Which is always amazing.
Yeah.
Always
that's, everyone else right? enjoys that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
No, just kidding. But I think it's like, you know, if you picture a triangle and you have, let's say you have at the bottom of this triangle, you have a husband on the left side, you have the wife on the right side, and you have God at the top point of that triangle. You maybe have seen this illustration before. As you grow closer to God, you're growing closer to each other. As you get closer to God, that distance between you guys narrows, and you get closer to one another as, yep. as you go up that triangle. And so growing individually, again, going back to what Matt said that we talked about in the previous podcast, if our identity and who we are and our completeness is found in Christ, is found in God, then we have a better relationship with our spouse. And as we grow closer to God, everything just kind of gets right and gets into alignment as it needs to be. So seek out those opportunities for you to connect with other believers. And then, and I also think too, if you have a healthy connection, it's growing you. It's growing yep. you, and you're not going back into the marriage. So you're going to have someone who's going to go, Hey, Justin, I hear what you're saying, that this happened in your marriage or this situation, but man, you really were the one at fault here. Are you this needs to change in your own heart. And so I think that's sometimes easier for us to have a brother or sister in Christ tell us that than our spouse, right?
Oh,
like if my wife came to me and said, hey, I think you're wrong and your heart needs to change here.
That's going to work really well.
Yeah. Right? That's going to be a fun conversation. And it shouldn't be that way. We should be able to have that relationship.
We're broken humans. This is an in reality conversation.
Exactly.
And what we're going to.
Exactly. Not the picture of perfection. But sometimes whenever someone else tells us something, it's like, oh man, you know what? That's a great idea. And your spouse may be smacking their head going, I've been trying to tell you that for 6 months.
But, oh, absolutely.
But that's why it's important for us to have accountability and community.
Yeah, and when we talk about that accountability, the way it plays out for me, like I'm just painting the whole picture, because I want you really to grasp how this works. So me and my wife, newly married, attending our church, and I work at the church, so I know that my Bible study, like for me to dive in spiritually, it's normally a little bit off the church schedule because it's Sunday, Wednesday. I'm at work. I'm making sure everybody else is spiritually taken care of. So I jump in on a men's Bible study in the morning. She starts a Bible study with some ladies she's met. Well, after a year or two, we ended up surfacing, and we started having these friendships with couples that we met through those studies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd be in those studies growing closer to God, which is really step one. Well, then we developed those deeper friendships within those studies where we were starting to talk about real things. And so all of a sudden, you're coming to a Bible study, and I'm hearing the husband talk about a tension that he needed us to pray through. And I'm going, we did that this week, dude.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there's this thing that clicks in your head when you're hearing somebody else just talk about the commonality of the struggle, where it makes you go, oh, we're okay.
Right.
Exactly. Like more people are dealing with this. That's perfectly fine. That's great. When you hear people talk and say things and all of a sudden it clicks, it prevents that big buildup of frustration that we've talked about, because you stop being paranoid that something's wrong.
Right.
You start to realize, wait, this is part of the normal human condition. And you don't even have to get to somebody like point at you going like, hey, you need to relax on this, or have you done this
right.
week? All of a sudden it clicks in your brain.
Right.
And it's like and it just completely disarms the tension.
Well, I think, too, it provides, going along those lines, perspective. So you may think something that you and your spouse are going through, this is the end of the world.
Yeah.
And then someone else steps in and goes, hey, man, we're going through this. And then all of a sudden you go, you know what? Maybe this thing that we're going through, not to minimize it, but it could be worse. And I'm grateful. And it sends, like, I've had this happen in my own relationship, to go, man, you know what? Things could be worse. And I need to be grateful for the spouse that I have, or the situation that we can fix this. This is very fixable. And so it kind of shifts my perspective from being this kind of catastrophe thing that's going on. Yep. This is all I can see and think about, to going, you know what, maybe I just need to calm down and I need to shift my perspective a little bit. And so I think, like you said, having that community provides perspective, and it also helps us realize that we're normal.
Yeah, and you had joked about this, like fighting in front of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, no joke, there are one or two couples that me and my wife will go on a double date with, and there has been multiple times that either me and my wife or them, the first hour of the date is them arguing in front of us, or us arguing in front of them. Like, no jokes aside, like, it's been a horrible week. Things are falling apart. We're both amped. You know, like, kids have taken all of our energy. We don't have any for each other. And me and Brittany used to joke that, like, when our kids were really little, we would go on a date about once a month, and her feelings would always be crushed because we hadn't had time to argue, right? We hadn't had energy to argue.
Right.
And so we'd have all the stuff we needed to discuss about. We have no energy left. It's an emotional outburst. And you spend that first hour just like, well, why'd you move the peanut butter there? Right. You know, like, all over the place. Right. And then it was like, okay, we're good now. We're
on a seat. Yeah.
And so what's funny is, it's like, I've realized that we will do that with another, like, couple we're really close to.
Yeah.
And they'll just kind of chime in a little bit. And all of a sudden, you'll realize, like, oh, okay, we're good. Everything's all right.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, it's almost a comfort, where it used to be, like, the embarrassment. Like, hey, you're throwing down at Walmart on the toy aisle, you know,
right,
type deal.
Yeah.
It almost has become one of those things where it's like, you know, I mean, I remember sitting with a couple in the front seat and me and Brittany in the back seat, and we're driving somewhere, and they're having like a schedule argument, and it's getting heated. And me and Brittany, my wife, are sitting back there, and we're really close friends with them, and she's like poking me in the ribs because she knows I'm about to say something sarcastic that's going to like either disarm or escalate the situation. Right. But we're that close of friends where it was one of those things where it was like, it didn't put us off. Right. It wasn't like a, oh, no. Well, we need to get out of the car and let them handle this and call the date early. It was like, oh, hey, sweet, their turn. Awesome.
Right.
And it just made things way more like, okay, these are rhythms we have to deal with in our brokenness.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of Christian community just in general. When we share sin struggles, when we share marriage issues, when we share the brokenness of our lives with one another, and we realize that's our condition. That's how we were born. The only thing that can remedy that is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And when we get to heaven on the other side, then, you know, then we can be perfected. And when you are walking through with your spouse and you're walking through with other believers, life can be a joy. It can truly be something that you understand your brokenness, but you also know you don't have to just stay and live in that you guys can work together to grow in your faith and in your spirituality, and connect more with God. It's just a great thing.
It is. And I mean, once again, this is a basic principle. Like, it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those things that are really hard. Like, I'm sitting here knowing that people are sitting there listening to this, and this happens all the time. We make all the reasons in the world why we can't. But I will say this. if you care about the long-term health of your marriage and you want there to be less friction,
yeah,
one of the best things you can do, obviously other than growing closer in your relationship with God as an individual, is jump in somehow to Christian community. And it's going to take multiple tries.
Yeah, and I want to say this too. Do it together. Don't, if you guys are having issues, don't be the one that's like, hey, I jumped into Christian community and shared our problem with so-and-so. That's not going to go well, maybe, for you. So I think you can't just spill your dirt without making sure that's a mutual. I think you need to go to your spouse and go, hey, we need to have some conversations with somebody else, with a third party, with whether that's, again, formal counseling or kind of informal, finding that other couple,
yeah,
that you can just be real in front of and share. I don't know how well that works, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, maybe a different perspective, but I think we run into a bit of a danger when one of us runs with that to go find that, and we leave the spouse in the dark on, hey, I will, you know what, I'm going to go pursue talking about this. You need to, I think it's best if you guys go together.
I'll say it this way, because like my brain immediately goes to the practical, and I completely agree. It is best if you can go together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also a reality of, and this is how it feels, one of you is always growing more than the other.
Sure, yeah.
And so a lot of times, practically, the way that plays out is the ideal is that you would jump in together, and some people can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be times where it's back and forth. So, like, husband says, hey, I really feel like we need to jump in. And the wife's going to be like, eh, I don't know, nah, nah, or vice versa, yeah, which is, honestly, that's the one that happens most of the time. Normally, the wife's ready to jump in, and the husband's not. So, I think if you're in a situation, because I do want to say this, you still want to make sure you're growing in your relationship with God, yeah, even if your spouse is not quite ready to take that step mutually with you.
Yes.
And so you want to be able to take that step, but here's what you don't want to do. And I do fully believe this is at the root of what Justin was saying. You don't want to create a impression or anything with your spouse, or you don't want to take the action to where, well, I'm going to go get help with our marriage even if you're not.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. If you're going by yourself and your spouse isn't stepping into that with you, your job is not to find the solution for what's going on with your spouse.
That's right.
Your role is to find out what's going on with you.
That's exactly what
I'm saying. So when you yeah, step into that community, if your spouse is not on board at this season or just not ready for that step, you need to be able to step in. But all of your conversations don't need to be, well, here's what he did this week or here's right, what she did this week.
Be warned that the growing is going to be in you and that you should be coming away with those takeaways. If your spouse isn't ready to jump, yep, on that, just know, again, you're the one that's going to have to do the work. You're the one that's going to be the one growing and changing and having to make adjustments. And so, again, thank you for saying that, because that's exactly where I was trying to say with that comment, yep, is you can't go by yourself and then come back and go, hey, so me and so-and-so talked, and here's all the things that are wrong with you. And yep, here's, you cannot do that. And so, again, best case scenario is you guys are going together, but know that if that doesn't work and that's not your situation, then you're going to be the one who's going to be worked on, and you're going to be the one, yep, who's going to come back into the relationship to help mend, to help bring health back into that. Again, not to come in wagging a finger.
Right, and the way that works on how it helps your spouse is as you grow closer to God, God works through you, and it's not the beat you over the head with a Bible, make you feel guilty, right, let me hound you to death. Like, that doesn't work to grow somebody spiritually. It, right, just doesn't. But what happens is they see interesting things in you that God is doing, and they go, what is going on? Which then piques their interest, and then God uses that and it works on them, and then they begin to take steps.
That's right.
And that's how you get there. And I'd even go as far to say, like, if you're listening to this and you're in one of those situations where you're the person that trusts in Christ in the relationship and the other person doesn't, or there's a distance, once again, continue to just pray and work on you.
Yep.
It's almost like when I go back to the Holy Spirit test, you know, like God told me dot dot dot. 99% of what you should be hearing is working on you.
Yeah.
Not on what God's telling you to go tell somebody else, right, unless it's about who Jesus is, right?
Right.
But I think that's the thing that you need to take away from this is, as we talk about Christian community, and I'll even say that if you go back to the ideal situation that both of you are gonna step forward and into these rooms of growth, or you're gonna step in together. If you're stepping into that room looking for ammunition that you're right and they're wrong, completely missing it. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be an explosion of a disaster.
Yeah. And hopefully within your Christian community, someone's pointing that out to you.
Right.
To go, hey, brother, sister, that's a wrong angle there.
Yeah. And I will say this, if they're not pointing that out to you, like if you're sitting in a room and it becomes, and there's a line there, but you prayerfully consider that. If venting becomes bashing.
Yes.
And the applications after the venting aren't on, well, what can I do to love them better? Or what can I do to change? Or what can I do to become more Christ-like? Red light.
Yeah.
Find another Christian community.
That's right.
Anyway, we hope this was helpful. We hope you've enjoyed this marriage series. We're going to be back next week, change topics up a little bit. We won't be talking about marriage, but we will be diving in spiritually. We hope this was helpful to you. We hope it helps you grow in your relationship with God. Once again, continue to reach out to us, Matt@richfork.com, Justin@richfork.com. We thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.